There are communities and individuals within the city of Tucson that are disproportionately impacted by the criminal justice system. Goodwill of Southern Arizona is answering the call to address these challenges by offering programs and services to engage and support our community at large. We're talking about making a difference on today's podcast, and I thank you all for joining us. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. So, as I said, today we're going to be talking about an issue that is so near and dear to my heart, it would be hard to articulate, and I am not kidding. Equity and criminal justice and Goodwill's efforts to meet the needs of our community, and there are many, and there is hope. That's the message I want to give. Hope and vote. Here's the message. So you will want to stay here with me to hear about some important work and some actual good news, which, if you're like me, we can all use it. And before I jump in and introduce our guests, I want to do a really warm, sincere shout out to Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Not only do they run impactful and important programs which improve the lives of thousands of people they serve, they impact our community and all of us living here and make it a better place in and around Southern Arizona in very powerful and in positive ways, and I know a lot of them. So at Mrs. Green's World, we appreciate all they do, including supporting our mission and vision. So let's do this. Thank you, Goodwill. You are a much-needed entity in this region, trust me. Okay, so let me join me in welcoming Jason Flores, Program Manager at Good Futures and Adult Reentry, and Lance Meeks, Program Manager, Metro Youth Center. It's really wonderful to have you both here, and I think you can tell in my voice that I'm like really excited to have a good news program that's not about the climate burning, the world burning. So I would like to highlight very much during our time together your efforts about evening the playing field for individuals and communities who are disproportionately impacted by the criminal justice system. But I would really like to start with getting to know both of you a little better, because if you're working for Goodwill, A, you're probably a really good person. And Jason, I think I've met you. Lance, I will meet you. And you are probably mission-driven, and I don't want to make those assumptions. So Jason, why don't we start with you? What has been your journey with Goodwill, and why Goodwill?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us, and thank you for the kind words in regards to what we're doing here. I can speak, you know, at least from my experience, that you know this is a good group of folks here trying to do good work and make impacts. As far as me personally, I'm coming up, believe it or not, on 7 years with Goodwill of Southern Arizona, which you know it's flown by. My background previous to working here was a business background. That's my educational background. I worked corporate, small business, startup, and you know, did some good stuff and enjoyed it. And that was all fine and dandy, but there was always something missing for me personally. And it was that connection to community. It was that, you know, who and what am I really impacting? You know, on a daily basis with my quote unquote day job. I've coached, I've mentored for many years, you know, outside of work. But, you know, I felt like I needed to do more in that regard. And so about 7 years ago, an opportunity popped up here that melded some of my business background and acumen with that community approach and that mission service, you know, mission-driven work. And it definitely represented a pay cut for me at the time. But my approach was, hey, you know, before it's too late, let me get in here you know, start building this pathway for myself. And 7 years on, almost 7 years on, you know, I've managed multiple programs at this point, served hundreds of young people and adults, you know, primarily, you know, reentry type work, justice system involved folks is who we've worked with and served. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the work and more proud of the team that I'm a part of. It's not all roses. It's not all easy. There are definitely frustrations with the work and challenges like anything else. But I can honestly say that, we here and in these programs, we walk the walk. You know, it's not just about complaining about the way the system is set up or, what's not out there. It's about, for us, creating opportunities, opening doors, making the impact, to even if it's one person at a time, really improving opportunities for folks who may otherwise be underrepresented and be lacking in opportunities. So, that's why I'm here. That's why I hope to remain here and, kind of continue the good fight that we're putting forth here at Goodwill.
You know, I've been doing this a long time, a really long time. I can't believe it's over a decade. And this is one of those times when I want to say to everyone, just press pause and rewind this, no matter what platform you're listening on. Because Jason, I got you. You are talking from your heart. I feel like I'm very close to your brother, Matt, and I've learned a lot about him and about equity, about racism, about the criminal justice system. As friends, we have had conversations. So I just want everybody to press pause and just honor you for that really very honest, full of integrity share. And then the other thing is to inject a little humor and not get too heavy. Lance, that is a tough act to follow, dude. So if you want to go give it a try, I'm like, I don't like it when that happens, but I'm sure you can equal anything that Jason said, speaking from your heart. So you're the program manager for Metro Youth Center. So tell us a little about your journey for Goodwill.
Yes. Jason is a wonderful person. And He's a great coworker and all of that.
I'm remember that, Lance. I remember you said that.
Yeah. but he does speak the truth, and that's the reason why I'm a part of the Goodwill of Southern Arizona. My pathway is a little different. I'm not from Tucson, so I'm originally from Waterloo, Iowa, and I spent some time living in the state of Missouri. So my educational background, I have a degree in criminal justice. And so, prior to moving out here, I was working for the Department of Corrections in the state of Missouri. So started off as a corrections officer, then a case manager within the institution. So I worked there for about 5.5 years total and then moved out there to Arizona. Part of it was I wanted to get away from cold weather and no grass.
Well, you came to the right place. That's all I can say.
After experiencing the cold weather, I wanted to move to Arizona to get away from cold and snow. And so I had the opportunity to be hired on by, at that time, Child Protective Services. So I was a case manager in an ongoing unit called the Arizona Young Adult Program. And this particular unit was dedicated to working with 16 to 21-year-olds who had been involved in the foster care system. There was no longer a plan for family reunification, or the young person did not want to be adopted. And so really how I got connected with Goodwill is, while I was working with those youth, I would refer them to some of the Goodwill youth programs, and Good Futures youth program happened to be one of those programs. And so I did that for almost 3 years. And I saw one day, just casually looking through the job openings, that Goodwill had a new opportunity. They were hiring for a recruiter for a new youth program that just happened to be the Goodwill Metro Youth Program. And so I've been at Goodwill over 6 years. I don't think not too much, probably a month or two after Jason, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it has been such a great opportunity to get to work with young people on a daily basis. And and to really impact their lives, and they've impacted mine, and but then also impacting our community as a whole.
So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about your journey, and I, of course, believe everything is on purpose, and the richness of Jason's experience in the private sector and then coming to this, because there was a hole in his soul, as I would put it, because I was one of those people as well.
Yeah.
And then your journey, it just, it like sweetens the pot, is how I would say it, because of all of your diverse backgrounds. And I don't want to inject too much of me in the conversation, but it is Mrs. Green's world. So I, for 35 years, worked with at-risk children and families. So when you talk about equity and inclusion, when you talk about the adult and juvenile criminal justice systems, and just the systems in general, it's pulling off Band-Aids on some things. Like, mm-hmm. we work so hard to be able to have youth emancipated earlier than the legal limit was. And I worked with the legislature on things like that, because if you're a 16-year-old, you do not want to go to another foster care family. I mean, give me a break. So that's enough about Gina's past, but I really do feel a lot of what you're talking about. So, Jason, what's GARP? I love that name. Is that what you call it? I mean, it's not GARP, it's GARP.
Yeah.
What is that?
So, Goodwill Adult Reentry Program.
Got it.
Is GARP, and I'm going to make the joke I've made many times.
Please.
Listen, to me, just, you know, face value, it sounds like a fish to me. Like we're going to go fishing for some GARP this weekend, you know?
It does. okay, I get it.
But nonetheless, Goodwill Adult Reentry Program. We are entering our second year. Really, it's our first foray into the specifically the adult reentry population. And so, the program, in brief, it's for folks who are 25 years old and older. Who have been incarcerated, and as the name might suggest, are reentering, you know, our community. And we are one of five sites throughout the country that was selected as a part of Goodwill International receiving an intermediary grant from the U.S. Department of Labor, and then distributing a portion of those funds to each site to run programming in the various communities. To date, we have finished our enrolling for the program and are really transitioning to our follow-up stage of the program. We provide just a whole kind of plethora of services ranging from case management, direct one-on-one and group case management, basic needs assistance, you know, food, clothing, access to just basic need resources, housing. We don't provide housing internally within the program, but we refer to many programs, assistance with transportation. We provide stipends and incentives for a variety of different activities, whether that be, you know, completing a resume, applying for a job, getting a job, enrolling in post-secondary education, getting a high school diploma, a GED, and many, many others. We can provide and have provided wages for program paid work placements. So, you know, if somebody comes to us, has an interest in a particular career field or has a background and some skills in a career field, we work very hard to develop connections within the community, with different industries and businesses and entities, agencies, where we can plug those folks in. And give them an honest opportunity to show their value, to gain experience, and to prove that they're more than just their background. And really, that's what it all kind of boils down to is, we've probably all heard, you know, nobody wants to be judged, you know, by their worst moment, by their biggest mistake. And so that's where programs like this come in. Yes, everyone enrolled in our program was, you know, arrested and tried and found guilty of a crime and was incarcerated. And the reality is that as a society, you know, we want to, there's too many people being incarcerated, and we can get to that later. And it does absolutely, beyond a shadow of any doubt, statistics back it up, and just doing this work, ground level doing this work, this disproportionately impacts communities of color. There's no doubt about it. And so this work needs to be done, because we can't just throw these people away. We can't just, regardless of what we want to look at in terms of sentencing and how that is oftentimes adjudicated disproportionately, the reality is these people reenter our communities, and they have worth, they have value, they have talent. And so often from what we see, they have the desire to reintegrate in a positive way into the community, into their families, make a difference, make people proud of them. And that's where we come in. That can be a very, very challenging road, and is a very challenging road for these folks. And so any opportunity, this is not giving folks an extra, shortcut. This is, as you had mentioned, trying to level the playing field to some degree. And there's lots of work to be done to accomplish that goal.
And to me, it's like I'm sitting here getting very emotional, because I really do know a lot about this topic. I worked very hard, and I'm not worried about saying it at all, to have Laura Conover win, which was a big shock to me. But I did a lot of research, and I had a lot of people ask me. She is now going to be, she'll be the Pima County attorney. There's nobody running against her. But in terms of the whole, like the culture and the network of providers when it comes to incarcerated individuals, it just makes sense to help them. And I choose every word I say in my intro that you impact thousands of people in our community, which impacts all of us. It's not just that individual you're serving.
Correct.
You're helping them to get on a right track. When you watch these specials, which I'm obsessed with, my daughter and I, about, this guy gets out of prison after 15 years, possibly should not have even been there in the first place.
Right.
The world has changed, and he has $118. And we say, go make something of yourself, buddy, and don't recidivate. Like, what are you talking about? So that's why I was excited about this show, because I know about your work, and I didn't know the depth and breadth of your personal passion and commitment. And I mean, I can feel it. I can feel it from Lance as well. So why don't we go to... And you've covered it all. They need food. They need money. They need a place to live. And that is ensuring their success, and it makes us a stronger, more sustainable, and socially just community. So, okay, why don't we do good futures, and then we'll get to Lance. Lance, don't give up on us. You're there, and I know it, and we're going to get to you. So let's talk about good futures. Okay, Jason?
Yeah. So good futures... very similar, right, in terms of the mission behind it, the types of services that are provided. Just with Good Futures, it has traditionally been, 18 to 24, so that youth / young adult age group. And traditionally, we've had a couple grants from the Department of Labor. We have also, as an organization, self-funded that program periodically. And so these are young people who have not yet made their way to the adult justice system, but are juvenile justice involved. Okay, and so the main difference there is obviously we're trying to jump in to provide resources, pathways, and invest in their future that steers them away from the adult justice system before it's quote unquote too late, right? Once you get involved in that justice system, finding a job, passing background checks, being looked at as more than, your conviction becomes more difficult. And so that's really what Good Futures is. It's the same sort, suite of services, if you will, in terms of basic needs, job placement opportunities, stipends, incentives for doing good stuff educationally, professionally, personally. And, you know, for that program, in working with youth and young adults, you know, it's like hope springs eternal. There's lots of optimism. It's like everything's still in front of you. Nothing's off the plate, you know, quote unquote, no harm, no foul. Like you can get this going now. And one of the approaches that we take when talking to some of these young folks who, let's be honest, they, you know, they maybe come from backgrounds where they didn't have a ton of opportunity. They didn't have, you know, maybe a role model or groups that paid attention to them. Their schools have been defunded, you know, so there aren't a ton of opportunities there. For them, it's about, hey, let us be and connect to us. Let us be that quote unquote rich uncle. We're going to give you this opportunity, right? Maybe some kids out there get these opportunities. You haven't gotten them. Well, here's your chance.
Right.
You know, and spread your wings. You got all the talent in the world. We're behind you. And I just want to say, regardless of what the program is, you know, we have the funds to do XYZ, to provide, you know, some money, some opportunities. But a big, big part of it is that these folks have people who care, people who will be there on good days and bad days. And I just don't want to overlook. Sometimes I feel like case management gets like, oh yeah, and there's case management. Listen, case management is the meat and potatoes, because this is a challenging path. And when you're trying to help people kind of break out of what they've always known and venture into the unknown in environments where they look around and there are people that aren't like them, that don't talk like them, and don't have similar experiences and have walked the same path, it's important, I feel like, that they have, you know, whether it be Goodwill or another agency, people who are there for them through those days to say, hey, we're with you. We believe in you. You can do this. And so I think that's key in all the Goodwill programs that we see. We see that the people are there, they have passion, and they care.
And I'm going to attest to it. So I don't know if you know her, but in September, I think we interviewed Athiana, I think that's how you say her name, Lerma,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know her well,
and
yes.
When you talk about tough cookies, I said this to her on the air. She was a tough cookie. She was cynical. She said this on the air.
Yeah.
She was a high school dropout. She had substance abuse issues. And literally, she waxes poetic about how Good Futures turned her life around, kicking, screaming, dragging, going to get her. Didn't you go get her, Jason? I think she said that on the air.
Yeah,
you have to listen to that podcast.
There's, she did not want to engage. Let's just put it that way.
At
you
all.
Know, but
she said that.
A ton of talent, and you know, she was referred by a social worker at Tucson High. You know, shout out to Bonnie. And really believed in this young lady. And so, you know, I took up that cause and said, listen, I'm, you know, this is, you're ready for this. You can do this. Long story. But really the funny part is I went to her high school graduation because she—
That's for the story.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And so she had finished high school and I'm like, I told her at the beginning, when you graduate, I'll be there.
And you did it.
And she, yep. she didn't show up. And, but
I'm remembering it now. Yes. So, it was a great story.
So they wouldn't give me her diploma, but they gave me like the, you know, the pamphlet for everyone who had graduated. And I got it and I knew where she was. She had gotten a little job and I drove to her job and I walked right in and I handed her, you know, her name on the list of graduates. And I said, congratulations. I told you I'd be there.
Oh my God. That is like freaking above and beyond, honestly. And we had Cassie Valenzuela who talked about it. And it's always such an honest conversation when I'm talking with any of you because it's not a walk in the park. And having worked with really high at-risk kids, they're not always just like trusting, waiting
oh,
for
no.
you, you know, the great white hope, which I was, to try and, you know, help change their lives. I learned a lot and grew a lot and got educated a lot about meeting people where they are and how I can be, you know, in service to them, because that's what it's all about. So Lance, I hope you didn't fall asleep there waiting for us. But I want you to talk about the youth resource centers and what you're doing there. It sounds amazing.
Yes.
So it's your turn.
I'm up. So So the Goodwill Metro Youth Center is located 300 North 4th Avenue. So it's right next to our 4th Avenue retail store. And so that is where I started. That's where I started when I began at Goodwill. And we had received a grant through the Department of Labor. And the goal was to engage 100 youth that have been juvenile justice involved. And so basically, you know, helping them who were disconnected return back to school or educational program of their choice, helping them with employability skills training, connecting them with employment in the community, but then that connection to community resources. So, you know, a lot of these youth are maybe what we call it homeless youth, but couch surfing. So they're staying from place to place, maybe a friend's house, right, maybe relative's house. So connected in with those community providers that may help them with housing options. And then taking young folks who are court ordered to complete community service hours through the juvenile court. And so we would take them through a community service training program, place them right next door at the retail store, helps with their you know, gaining some work experience skills that they can then put on a resume. And so within the center space, we're working with ages 14 to 24 years of age. So youth and young adults. And so being in that space, you get to see that young folks, you know, it's not too far from the Ronstadt Center. And just seeing the needs of, hey, it's really hot outside. I need some water. Or, you know what? I stayed in the park last night. I don't have a toothbrush. I don't have toothpaste. So hygiene items, given those things, just the little things that we all take for granted, we were able to provide within the center. And just ultimately having it as a safe space for young folks to then come and connect with staff members who truly care. And so out of that work, really, you know, the good thing about working with at Goodwill is that we continue to really look at what the community needs are. And we knew and we still know that there needs to be more re-engagement centers in different parts of the town, right? And so we had this opportunity to open up our second re-engagement center at our Goodwill Southern Arizona headquarters, and that is called the Goodwill Rec Youth Center. And so the space is a little bit different. There's more rooms. There's the ability for young folks to connect within a creativity room that we have a plan for, is, you know, exploring their musical skill sets, arts and crafts, you know. But these are things that, as we kind of worked with young people over the years, just listened to, and they told us that, you know, hey, I don't want to go back to school, or maybe I want to get my GED, or, you know, this is where I feel safe at. And so now we have two re-engagement centers, and it's been an awesome opportunity to see that with all of this work of young folks being involved in the juvenile system and the adult system, what we really come to find is that they're not trusting of adults. And so within these spaces, we're doing our best to gain that trust, to build that rapport, and also listen to them for what their needs are, what their wants. And a lot of it has come to now where we have two re-engagement centers. We're allowing them to use their voice and just help us with empowering our own communities.
Right. I mean, just asking them what they need is so respectful. And the reason they don't trust adults is usually very, very understandable. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So, and it's just a fast-changing world for kids now. It's unbelievable. There are many other choices besides going to 4 years high school. And if you're a 16 or 17-year-old, it can be a really tough decision. And I'm all in favor of making options available. So we have to kind of be mindful of time a little bit, but if you're still good, I have another question. And, you know, I just want to know what your personal experiences with law enforcement and authorities have been. And I think that's a very fair question, given what's going on in our world and in our city And this is going to be without the, I'm not a news person or a journalist. I'm an environmental and social justice educator. So it's a different kind of ask. And if you feel comfortable, do either of you want to share what your sense is of law enforcement and authorities here in our community?
Yeah, I'd be more than happy. I mean,
go for it, Jason. And then Lance, both of you, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
You know, in terms of my interactions with law enforcement, as a kid, right, and young man, young adult, adolescent, there was a distrust, just in general, of law enforcement. I grew up here in Tucson. You know, went to Menlo Park Elementary, Utterback Middle School, Tucson High School, and you know, I will chalk some of it up. You know, when you're young, you know, you're more naive, you're more rebellious, etc. Like that's natural. There's a part of that. With that being said, definitely had some unpleasant interactions, including physical interactions with police officers. And, you know, at the time, you don't have the perspective to, you know, really kind of look and analyze it. It's just anger.
Right.
And it's just frustration. And you feel targeted at a certain point, particularly, you know, as you know, you grow up with a group of guys, of friends, and, you know, you grow up in you know, a certain part of town and neighborhood. And now being older and being able to look at statistics and understand part of the way the systems are set up, you know, those areas are more highly policed. And there are more, there's a greater frequency of police interaction.
Right.
And those interactions, you know, again, from that perspective, it doesn't feel like protect and serve all the time. It feels like, what are you up to? And let's protect the community from you. And that sort of, it took years for me personally to outgrow and to have perspective to say there's good apples and bad apples. And it be part of the solution. Don't just complain about what's going on.
Right.
And so that's definitely part of what has brought me here. But I'm going to tell you, part of the reason I was able to do that is I had good role models. I guess in summary, I feel like we as adults, whether it be us here at Goodwill, but just the community at large, you know, I would call on everyone to understand that we need to invest in opportunities and open doors for young people who may traditionally, you know, have greater, you know, police and law enforcement interaction, to help steer them towards a pathway where they can feel, you know, like they belong and be positive about the systems around them and the opportunities that they have. That's what we work to do. And I would call on the entire community to take up that fight.
What a great message, because there is learning and there are good and bad people in everything. There are highly qualified people, well-equipped people in any profession. So I just want to feel positive, hopefully, about the direction we're going in our community. And I hear what you say. There is a dilemma because all cops are not great. All law enforcement isn't great, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that adult lens makes it easier, but you're trying to teach that to kids is even more important. So Lance, what about you? What have your personal experiences been, particularly in this community with law enforcement and authorities?
Yeah, so I've had some negative experiences, and I've seen others in my community in the Midwest. I'm a black man, but living here in Tucson, I haven't had those negative experiences. I have heard in the experiences of the young folks that I work with, and being that I have had some experiences, not here, I've been able to really be that bridge for young folks and really having those tough conversations in regards to how young people and law enforcement should interact with each other. And so for the most part, you know, taking what young people have told me about their various experiences, hearing from law enforcement about the difficulties that they may have of understanding young people, we've been able to actually come together with Tucson Police Department. And in August, mid-August, we hosted our first virtual youth chat with TPD. And so having young people at the table to have dialogue with some leadership within Tucson Police Department, because we needed to hear those voices about, they see what's going on a national level with the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. And so they really have a lot that they want to express, but they also really want to have a better relationship with law enforcement in general within our community.
Well, that is just such a positive message to hear. And I don't ever want to be Pollyanna. You can be sure that I don't get picked on or profiled or whatever. I mean, we're talking about a middle-aged white woman, but I don't live in that world of protection. I have lots of really amazing, authentic, real contacts where the story is very different. So thanks both of you for sharing that. And Lance, I'm particularly happy to hear that it is better here, because I do believe that. And I believe that there's a lot of effort with a lot of connections and working together for a common goal. So is there anything I missed staying on this excellent adventure with the two of you? Are there anything that you wished I asked that I didn't, or websites or events that you want plugged?
I would like to plug. We have an upcoming...
Plug. Yeah. Plug away.
We have an upcoming... we have a new partnership with Boys to Men Mentoring in Tucson, in the Goodwill Southern Arizona, and we're hosting our first ever community circle on September 28, 2:30 to 3:30. And this is really community circles for 11-year-olds to 24-year-old boys or masculine identified youth. So we want to give those young folks the additional support where they can come to a safe space such as our Goodwill.
Right.
Rec Youth Center.
Right. Well, I have a request of you then, because this show, it's pre-recorded and we're doing it early. If you could send me information about that, I'll ask our social media person to put it up on our platform, which is pretty robust. And it's Gina at Mrs. Green's World, so it's not hard. But if you could send me some information or maybe ask Matt, that would be one we'd like to promote. What about you, Jason? Is there anything else that you would like to plug or say, or something that you wish I had asked? It's your turn.
Well, you know, I would just say that for, anyone, any agency out there, any company, any business, any individual who believes in this work, one of the challenges is always, trying to make sure that we have the funding, to be able to continue this type of work. And so I can tell you that this is a very worthy cause. It's not a handout. These are opportunities and doors that are opened, and substantive change can be made. Generational change can be made by impacting one person. It's then their brothers, sisters, neighbors, sons, daughters that are positively impacted by this, and that helps our community as a whole. And then, for organizations that may have opportunities to connect to these programs and provide training, provide work placement opportunities for us to be able to plug our young people or our adults into, those are always welcome. We thrive off partnerships.
And that's something that I would really like to explore more with you because of all of the wonderful sponsors and partners of Mrs. Green's World. So I encourage you to reach out to me, and I will get more information from you and see if I can connect some dots. And of course, the shout out that I want to do for our listeners, what's a call to action? Donate your gently used clothing, your household goods, your treasures, things of great value to Goodwill, because they make our community better. I shop there all the time, and my husband shops there even more because he makes things out of nothing that he finds at Goodwill. He makes wonderful, wonderful things. So it's like, shop there, yes, buy things there, but donate. I've told this story before. We had a dumpster that our community association, our homeowners, puts out, and it used to be right across the street from us. And James would dumpster dive because we were so appalled at what people threw in the garbage rather than put in a bin for Goodwill. And he went in, and I took videos of it because he just said, this is disgusting. People would just empty out their desk drawers, and there'd be yellow stickies and new packages of paper clips and scissors and all of those things. So shop Goodwill, donate to Goodwill. If you have a lot of extra cash laying around, make a cash donation, because you can hear what this does to our community, and we all win. It's safer. It's more financially sound. So I sound like I'm getting up on a soapbox. Calm down, Gina, for heaven's sake. So my last words are three. I would like to ask our listeners to please consider becoming a patron of Mrs. Green's World, because we too could use your help and our team would appreciate it. And there's a link right under the show notes to tell you just how to do that. We would love it to see some more people become members of Mrs. Green's World. And I don't have a lot of written thoughts on my last words for this show. I lived this show with Lance and Jason. I felt it. I get it. I understand. I had a daughter who went to Utterback, a daughter who went to Tucson High. I worked with at-risk kids from all of the schools on the South Side, many of them, and especially Pueblo High School. So I know a lot about it. And these two men are incredible. They spoke from their hearts. They're making a difference. They're passionate. And they don't have a job. They have a mission, and I was just proud to spend time with both of you. And I thank you as a community member for all you're doing as individuals and as Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona to make a difference. And I just want to press pause and honor both of you for that and for staying with us through this roller coaster ride of an interview. And then, as always, I end with my final thanks to you, our listeners, because without you, there would be no us. So Jason and Lance, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm sure our paths will cross in the after times when I'm going out again, but we'll see you.
All righty. Yes. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity.